Welcome, everybody, to a Delco Nerd Network Hot Take. Folks, if you haven't seen a hot take before, well, it's where a few friends get in a basement, we give our thoughts, we give our opinions on a TV show, a movie, or a game. Today, it's going to be a TV show, and that TV show is... See, that's where the title card
would be.
Yeah, for Invincible Season 2. Here to discuss, as always, the triple threat, Chris Trio.
Gooch. How are we doing today, my friend? Are you ready to talk some Invincible?
I'm doing well. Beautiful Sunday.
Absolutely.
We're here to chat. I binged the last
four.
It was eight episodes?
Yeah, it was eight.
Yeah, total. So I binged the last four this week. I'm caught up. We're ready to go.
Yeah, and I was kind of keeping up with it week to week.
Yeah, I definitely was not. Interesting that Prime kind of does both release schedules, by the way.
So, there's a question.
With Fallout just coming out, but not...
So, I think, I agree. It's interesting. I think it just is kind of a touch-and-go thing, where I do think it works for Fallout, but we were having this discussion in the Discord. I agree with you most of the time, where, like, I think the weekly schedule is fun... Because it allows you to all be in the same place at the same time and kind of
for longer,
talk about it, and it hangs around for a bit longer, and you don't feel that need to rush. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting. I don't know why they do that.
But you're talking. Let's keep that up. Yeah. You finished first, so why don't you go first? What'd you think of the second season of Invincible? We didn't do the first season.
No, because...
And that was my fault.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's all right. I think Gooch every day, but it's fine.
Yeah, because I wanted to read it before I watched it.
Yeah.
So I read, and then I started watching. I meant to go get my compendium, because I wanted to see, like... where we have left off in terms of the compendiums, which there are three of. But
I'm sure we can Google it, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I've somehow managed to avoid, like, all things Invincible. This is, like, one of the only...
You haven't read it.
I haven't read it. This is one of, like, those superhero properties that I've just been like, I really like this animated show. I don't know much about this. I don't want to know where it's going. So I decided to abstain from the reading at this point. But I'm going to get to it eventually, for sure. But let's start out with the ugly first year, Gooch. And
I wasn't expecting to start there, but much ugly. Happy to get ugly.
Absolutely. And I want to get the ugliness out of the way because I think, honestly, I thoroughly enjoyed this season for the most part. And I really think the ugliness just comes out of that release schedule. Can we get this out of the way?
Oh, yeah. I was so annoyed too. That.
So they released the four episodes in
2023.
But when was the last episode? I'm trying to remember.
It was December.
Was it December?
It was Christmas time.
That's what I thought.
It was in December. Remember, 4 weeks. So yes. It may have started November and end in December or something like that.
Yeah. So they decided to break the season in two halves. There's a conspiracy theory out there, which I don't really believe, but that they did this to line up with the ad spots coming around in Prime.
I fan that flame a little bit. I remember someone pointed out to me, and I posted in the Discord, which you can join, and don't remember, you can also comment about what you're thinking about Invincible.
Yes, absolutely. See if or whatever else. Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about this release schedule thing? But yeah, I was like, dude,
It just killed the momentum.
It weirdly lined up. Yeah.
And I felt...
To give it some credit, the ads are not as bad as compared to Paramount.
No.
You know,
no.
Especially since we just came off Halo Season 2, it's funny to see, the ads done,
better.
Much more overtly in Paramount Plus, and then in Amazon, it's like, oh, okay, that wasn't that intrusive.
No, I agree. And even, we'll talk about Fallout at a later date, but with Fallout, I really I've been watching that, and it gets all the commercials out of the way at the beginning. So it's 2.5 minutes of commercials, and then you just go through the whole thing. I'm like, you know what? I'll take that. I'll do that. Nothing's worse, and we talked about this. I think we talked about this for the Halo thing, than that devious final ad spot on Paramount right before the credits, where it's like, oh, okay, we're coming back. Something interesting's happening.
Right. I want to see the credits to make sure we're good.
Yeah, we're all good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree, Gooch. That's a good point. But the release schedule was just a momentum killer for me, for sure. I don't think it affected overall how I felt about the series this season for the most part, but it definitely frustrated me in the meantime. But, I mean, that's probably the brunt of the negative for me. I think overall I did enjoy the narrative arc of this season and seeing Mark, full spoilers here, kind of go from this guy who's like, maybe I can make both work to like, what am I should be training. I can't be...
Can't be both.
And I am more, and I need to take responsibility for that in a way. And, he starts to kind of get what his dad is saying by, in that whole beatdown of the first season of, I am more than this. I'm going to watch these people die around me. And he's kind of coming to this, conclusion on that. But I thought there was some fantastic action scenes in this. We see Mark get the shit kicked out of him again. I'm kind of excited to not see that. Is that a lot in the first couple comics or the first like run? He's just getting wrecked.
You know what I noticed in the animation? They always do the left eye being puffy. And,
interesting.
And I don't know if you noticed, but Mrs. Grayson, I forget her name off the top of my head, Debbie. Debbie and Mark both have the same eye wound at the same time after Angstrom Levi fucks them up. They both have the
like
same,
their, like, yeah,
like the puffy black eye. And I'm right. That one, I that leads me into, I think this show, I mean, we talked about the release schedule. There's right. clearly production issues with this show. Whether it's the voiceover, whether it's the animation, I think it might be a combination of the two. But however they're producing this show is clearly an issue. They pulled a She-Hulk in the show where they make fun of how they do.
Which I loved.
I did.
I thought it was. I actually really enjoyed
it. And they do that
yeah.
in the comic.
Yeah.
But I think it.
It's about comic books, though, right? I assume.
Where yes. Yeah. With the same scene at the Comic-Con. But the fact that Invincible has production issues with this show makes it like the She-Hulk thing where it's like you're pointing out your own flaws here and it's more on the nose than it is funny.
Sure. I think it works for me personally because it doesn't feel like there's production issues. It just seems to me that these take long. And I don't know. I took it as just a kind of funny moment, to be honest. It didn't rub me the wrong way.
And I think going into that issue further with me, I think Invincible, the comic, and in the show, for the most part, it moves at a clip. Like, it's a very fast-paced narrative. And, like, a lot's going on, but it's somewhat, like, contained. And I think that the production issues kind of make that clip not great. You know, where the cadence at which you're digesting the narrative kind of gets screwed up. I mean, obviously, I know between season one, between seasons, there's going to be some time off.
Sure.
But, you know, I think it was like 2 years for season one to season two. It wasn't that for me because I watched season one like a few months after it aired. But yeah, it's just kind of like, I really hope with season three, they can kind of figure out what issues are going on, whether it's the voice acting, I guess it seems like mostly the animation. And I found the animation kind of lacking for some reason.
At some points, I would agree.
I think you're really getting, like, you're not polishing this. You're getting it to completion, and it looks nice enough. But when I was, kind of squinting and, like trying to notice things, like, I think in the last two episodes, I was like, paying attention. And I was just like, something seems rushed here.
Sure.
And I hope they can just figure it out and get it down pat and, you know, get it so that the seasons are better aligned and better,
right.
Have better timelines of coming out, but also are better quality. It looks like they are already hard at work.
They already have the third season's voice acting done, apparently, which is good.
Which is good, yeah.
That means it's already been storyboarded out. That means they are genuinely just working on animation at this point. Yeah, I agree with you in certain respects for sure. I think most of the time the animation looks fantastic to me. I don't really feel like I'm seeing those scenes a lot, but I definitely think that there are some scenes where I was like, okay, that they're taking a bit of a shortcut to a degree, but I don't even almost want to say that because it sounds negative, but I do see what you're saying.
And that being said, I feel like this show is a weird adaptation because its story is so fast. It works with comics. I feel like season one and season two, you almost could probably like mush them together and they'd be like the same thing.
Sure.
Because like there's not these like, it's not like The Walking Dead where there's these location swaps or these big changes in the narrative to kind of like, oh, well, like you, even though you haven't watched The Walking Dead,
right.
You could tell me what season one is and what season two is and what season three is.
Sure.
Like based on location and stuff.
I guess I don't necessarily see that as like a bad thing though in the way of, you need these two to kind of connect in a way that makes sense and that feeds the story forward. And I do think it works very well and they feel separate enough. And especially with the whole ending of Mark just getting destroyed by his dad in the last season.
Yeah.
I feel like that does provide a nice little like cut off. And then we're into this moment of Mark trying to be a normal kid and trying
post,
to be that person.
Post-Omni-Man, right?
Trying to be that normal kid that he was fighting to be. He fought his dad. I mean, he's like, you're going to grow up and watch all these people die around you. He's like, well, I don't care. I love these people. These are my friends. And it's like, he's starting to realize how truly different his life is. Mm-hmm. And I did really love the whole storyline with his little brother. I thought that was a really kind of fascinating and interesting.
It gets interesting.
I thought that, so I'm curious how it's gonna evolve. Yeah. Because obviously I like this idea. So
were you really caught off guard by that?
I was totally caught off guard. I had no idea what was coming. So Mark shows up after his dad like kind of tricks him to come find him. And I love this whole kind of crisis of conscience Omni-Man is having, where he's like, why do I give a shit? Why do I care now? Why do I feel anything for these lesser beings? And like, you kind of learn a bit more about the Viltrumite society and how they usually mate with humanoid species because that produces things, and they find like more abomination species, like lesser and stuff like that. So I thought that was a cool layer too. What's her name as the alien? Fuck, Rhea
Seahorn.
Seahorn. She was great. And that whole idea of this kid's going to age a lot quicker. I'm really curious how they're going to handle that in the future, if he's going to have powers. And then Angstrom Levy saying like he doesn't exist in any of the universes. So it is funny how like
we got the multiverse stuff.
Oh, really?
To the depth, I know season two, we open on that, multiverse timeline where Omni-Man is joined. Invincible is joined Omni-Man. That is not in the comics that I recall. Like Angstrom Levi has the same powers. Right,
but you don't see
by the
that.
Way,
yeah.
I like Angstrom Levi, not Angstrom Levy. I always said Levi. It just sounds better. Like, and I'm
it's
just like,
it's because of Levi. It's because we're so used to seeing that. I feel.
Yeah. Well, it's Levi. It's Levi jeans.
Yeah.
Levi from Attack on Titan. It's like Levi.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like Levy.
Levy.
Yeah. If it was Levy, it should have been a Y.
Right.
I'll say that much. But yeah, I think they took a bit of different route with that to kind of like show you like
his powers or like
no show you like these different versions of an Invincible, and they allude to it in the comics that there are like other universes. And like, again, I'm gonna like take a step back and not say anything more about that because I think we're gonna get more multiverse stuff.
Again, it's funny because like we do get inundated with the multiverse stuff, but it's funny how this existed before. I'm sorry, continue.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. But no, I think like the way they introduce it is a bit different in the show than in the comic.
Okay, that makes sense. But like does he mention anything about his brother in the comics like that? Like where this is the only universe he exists in or anything?
I don't remember if he specifically says that. I also didn't remember if he broke Debbie's arm like he did.
Right.
It's so funny. The comic is such a quick read. I forgot a lot of it and I almost don't like that. Like I finished both Compendium 1 and 2, so I am way ahead of the show.
How do you know how many years of comics is that? Do you know?
I have no idea.
So I'm going to look up just what the first Compendium is, but continue.
Yeah. I did like that plot line, but if I remember correctly, it's more or less said and done. That's not like Angstrom Levi like isn't a huge thing going forward.
And that seems to be the case.
He dies.
Yeah, so that makes sense then to me.
Yeah, like it kind of ends there. Like he's not going to keep coming back, which I like. Right? It's like even though the comic and the show have like multiple villains and it acts like
arcs,
it doesn't just keep bringing people back every 6 seconds. Because in another difference from the comic, Rex dies and stays dead
after he gets shot.
Yes.
Oh shit.
Yeah, they all die except Duplicate.
That was one where I appreciate that. How they just go for it in these respects, where it does feel Game of Thronesy to the degree of like,
yeah,
I do think if Rex died that would have been an even more extra thing, but they are willing to kind of kill these people. Obviously, I don't know what will happen with Invincible. I'd be very surprised if they just killed Mark out of nowhere. But yeah, I think that idea was kind of wild. The way he got shot and then he gets up. I like that actor a lot who plays him.
It's the same scenario. I don't really like Rex.
Yeah, Rexplode.
Like
I love how he's like a Gambit. I didn't even realize that. Like, yeah, that's his powers. He like kinetic energies things. Yeah.
I don't like him in the comic and I didn't like him in the show. And I was kind of looking forward to his exit.
His death. Yeah.
So interesting to see where we're going to go from here. Maybe they're going to kill him again. they could always do that. But What did you think about the relationship between Amber and Mark? You know, that's kind of the big thing. It's like the big, you know, you can't do both because like
it hit me hard, that breakup scene.
Really?
Yeah, just in the way of like,
okay,
they're two people who love.
I have such a different perspective.
I don't know. It's so funny. Like, because they're like, Amber thought they could do it, and so did Mark. They were really trying, and then it gets to that point where Amber ends up being the one lying for Mark. And then it just becomes this whole thing where it's just not meant to be, even though they love each other. And like, I don't know. It was just a very endearing moment for me where it's just like these two people who just, it's just not going to work. It won't work, but they want it to work. And there's just a lot of sadness in that.
Yeah. I don't like Amber in the show and the comic.
I like her better in this season because the first season she annoyed me, I remember. But like this one, I felt like she was at least, she was trying, she understood and she was trying to be like the best she could for Mark in the way of, but like, yeah, I mean, he's just flying off and he has to do superhero things. She has to keep, that would get annoying. Where's your boyfriend? He's got a thing with his family today. Like, you just have to keep coming up with bullshit.
So in the comic, they change it up a little bit by Amber ends up cheating on Mark.
Oh.
So there's a bit more of like an infidelity angle with Amber. The fact that Mark is gone so much, she starts talking to other guys. She's a bit more promiscuous. I think they kind of like Amber in the comic to me was always like the girl next door kind of vibe. Like, she's really hot. She's blonde.
She's the MJ to a degree.
Yeah, like, she definitely is. But, like, they write her off just as fast. Like, the same thing happens when, you know, they're going back and forth. And I think he forgives her for cheating on him, but they have a similar thing where it's like, yeah, we just can't be together. Like, we can't do this when you're invincible and going off saving the world at every 3 seconds and whatever. And you know,
I did really like the moment, like, where he was talking to his mom about, like, well, what did you do when dad would go off? And she's like, well, I just kind of made it work. And like, it was really sad. He'd be gone for months at a time. And I was like, damn, like, there is. So this is the stuff, Gooch, that Snyder loves. It's the deconstruction. It's the idea. And I don't mean to bring this up just to slander him, but I think that this is like a very incredibly well example, an incredibly well done example of that, where you really kind of explore these topics. And I think he does it to a very good degree in certain ways and not so much in my opinion in others, but like this whole deconstruction of like the superhero mythos, and they do it in Superman. Don't get me wrong. And they like, you know, the idea of Lois dealing with Superman going off and saving the world. But I don't know, even when you introduce this idea of like the Viltrumites live for as long as they do, and like, oh, that's that line in the first season when he calls his mom a pet, like, oh, it's fucking rough. But the growth we see out of that, and the idea of how Debbie dealt with it, and even like by the end of the season when we get to what Omni-Man, that last scene with Omni-Man, it's so good. And I love this stuff so much, and I'd like to see it even more, and I want to read the series because of it. Because I think I think you can go a little too far with the deconstruction stuff. I think The Boys does that a lot. Like, if you read that comic book, it's so like just mean to the core, and like it, like, really tries to tackle everything to the point where it's just like, I think, becomes overbearing.
Yeah, I think Invincible has a line.
Yeah,
you
it
know?
Definitely does.
The Boys
like,
really doesn't seem to have a line or care about having a line.
No, but I think this does the deconstruction stuff very well, I guess, to put a pin on it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what happens with Eve.
Yeah, that was another interesting scene. Just tell her how you feel, Mark. Just tell her.
So did you get the idea that Eve liked Mark at all?
Yeah, ever? Of course. Okay, okay. I feel like it was pretty obvious for the most part. Like, she had a crush of some kind at the very least. I did like this idea of that Eve just kind of breaking the time, like just being like, hey, I have loved you this whole time. Can you please just say something to me? And even that.
Yeah, that's a cool scene.
Even
really
that's
like
not
that.
Enough to get Mark to like to do. You can send guys all the signals in the world. It'll take a while. But I like that whole scene of her interacting, of him interacting with them. So that's a different. Is that like the team from the future that comes? I kind of assumed something like that.
So Robot kind of explains that, hey, we're from the future where you don't come back.
And it sucks, right?
Yeah. So now we're like kind of like putting that timeline, like we're making like a new timeline where you do come back.
So you can at least help them, right? And those guys are all still fucked. Interesting.
Well, not that they're still fucked. They're.
Well, sure. I'm sorry, but they would go back to then again. We don't.
Right. I guess that timeline continues. But, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Without him.
And I did like the moment where he lost it a lot, where he kills Angstrom. And the parallels to his father. Yeah. And it's so funny because the whole time I am like, Mark, why do you have this no killing rule? And I guess not that he has a rule, but he really seems like avidly against it. And I'm like, these people like are willing to go that line to the degree, like you're fighting these Viltrumites. And I did like seeing that snap moment of him actually fully letting go. And he's like, yeah, I've been holding back this whole fucking time. And he's just pounding him into a pace. And
right.
It's a very interesting character development moment when he comes back and talks to Cecil and he's like, you're fine, man. He's like, no, I'm not fine. You didn't see what happened. If I lose control again, I don't want to know what happens. And then that sets him on the journey to be like, I can't do college. I can't do regular shit. I have to train. And that...
Right, just be invincible. Yeah.
And that excites me. And I think that these two seasons did a very good job of getting us to that point. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is all within the comic, right? Like, mm-hmm. yeah. So this isn't like a... We talked about this before. I might have brought it up on the last podcast. This isn't like a Preacher situation where that whole first season is like... Not the comic. It's a prequel to the comic.
There are some interludes where they randomly told you the origin story of Duplicate and some of those other people who explode. I think Eve is also in there. But did you ever watch that Eve?
I didn't. I meant to.
Just go back and watch it. It's like an hour long.
All right. I'll have to. That looked really good.
You could really not. It's fine. But
it's funny. I feel like she mentioned something in the series that I'm like, when did that, like, I couldn't tell if it happened, like,
or it was... Yeah, she does.
It was
yes.
something about, like, saving a building or something like that?
No, that happens in the... Remember in the first half where her dad yells at her for...
Fixing a building, right?
But then there's a reason it wasn't...
It collapses, right?
That's in the first half.
Okay.
That was another thing when we were talking about reviewing this. I'm like, dude, I don't even remember what happened in those first four episodes at this point. This show is tough to remember, and I think, again, it has... And maybe that's why I have a hard time remembering the comic, because it moves so quickly, and there's not these, like, these clear, like, goalposts of, like, this is season one, where this happens and it ends with this. Like,
I think season one has a very good goalpost.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen like that in the comic. Where
of course.
It's, like, clear cutoff point. Well, like, it just kind of keeps going.
And that's, you know, that's television, baby. That's what you got to do, you know? So I get that. I do think it does do good bookends, though. In my opinion, like, there's a clear end at season one where Mark fights his dad, and then there's a clear season two end here where he loses his shit and basically does what his dad does.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like that, at least on that point anyways.
Yeah.
What about the squids?
Yeah, the sequids. Yeah, that's what I was going to go into. Sequids. Speaking of Mark kind of losing his shit. I like that arc again. I like how Invincible kind of contains its arcs, and they don't overstay their welcome. They kind of come in and they go out, but sometimes they don't come back.
You know what else really does that well? Sandman.
Okay.
It's like two episodes will be an arc, and then it will move on to the next arc on the next episode or two.
Yeah.
But I do like that.
The second stuff, like, it's fine. I enjoy it. I don't really think it's any, like, again, like, the villain is nothing. It's like a villain, like the Sequids is like the definition of like the villain of the season.
Yeah, sure, sure.
You know, like whatever
it's funny
that means.
Because it really was like a setup for their, because it feels like they're going to play a big part in the next season in some way. Because
the Sequids?
Yeah, we saw the teaser at the end of the episode where the guy like throws one up, right? And then it gets back on him, the astronaut dude.
Yeah, I think I know what that's teeing up. I think I don't remember that being a thing. But I like there are always like these bigger threats going on, and then like the day-to-day villain that they're like contending with. Like,
right.
There's always like kind of like two.
There's the day-to-day, and then there's the, because
again, like, Mark is not a guardian of the globe. So like but he helps them.
Right.
So they're fighting something else. So like the Sequids was like the guardian of the globe bad guy.
Right.
Whereas Angstrom Levi was Invincible's bad guy.
Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and we didn't really talk about that from the beginning of this season, but with, like, his transformation and stuff and his multiversal doppelgangers. And I think they wanted to illustrate that point a bit better with the multiversal
showing
scenes.
Showing all his different personas,
Because, like, they get into that, like, very quickly, and then they quickly kind of leave it.
But it's the same idea, I assume, that like he gets fused and remembers all the shit about Invincible and
yes.
hates him, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He kind of just loses his mind because like a bunch of his, different versions of him just kind of came in on his.
Because it was supposed to be he had like a regulator going of some kind, and then Invincible fucks it up when he takes out the twins, right, or something.
Yeah.
And then he like pulls the plug. That's what gives him the weird brain face. They couldn't fix that in any universe.
Guess not.
I guess so. They gave him Invincible powers though. They must have spliced him with some Viltrumite or something.
Yeah,
like
I don't. I don't remember him being that strong. It almost makes me want to reread the comic or get back into it. But I wouldn't. I'd never just.
I might buy a Compendium 1 and just read up to like where we are.
I'm pretty confident Compendium 1 ends where we're at. I'll have to look. I wanted to look before we started today, but it kind of got away from me. But
yeah, I liked the whole idea of his character where he was truly like, you know. The good intentions sometimes can lead to bad things, and he seems like a good guy trying to make the universe a better place, and he's trying to fuse all his brains together so he can have all their knowledge, right, is the idea, I think.
Right.
Which is interesting, and you see this guy kind of tumble down.
Really to stop Omni-Man and Invincible.
In the show, it didn't feel that way to me. It felt like he was like, I just want to build a utopian society. He didn't really even realize.
Then
after he's fused is where he realizes in all these universes how big of a piece of shit Mark can be.
Those were
some interest, like that scene with Eve when he like breaks her neck. He's like, I'd never kill you. Like, just goes full psycho. Ugh. It was good.
Oh, yeah, in the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, so are we getting a color change in this next season? Suit color change?
How do you know about that?
There's a title card at the end. It went black and blue.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long of a jump do you think it's going to be?
Not long.
It's pretty
like time jump.
Yeah. Okay.
maybe a few weeks, a few days.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't know if long. It picks up. Yeah. Because I guess like you're saying with the comic, it just kind of picks
up. Yeah.
Well,
we will get a new suit next season for sure.
I'm excited.
He wears black and blue for a little while.
I like his suit.
So I'm not far enough in the comic where I know what's after that. But I know there is a black and blue suit that he gets. And obviously, because he just fucking destroyed the one he has. I don't know if he has multiple suits.
Well, Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker will keep creating. What's his name? Ralph or whatever? Al, maybe? I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah.
I did like that scene when he went to talk to him. He's like, well, it seems like when you're talking to me, you should be talking to the fucking girlfriend.
You'll be talking to
him. Yeah. And I was like,
you know what's funny? I don't like Mark Hamill in that role. I found it weird.
Interesting.
He just sounds like not really like, he sounds like Mark Hamill doing an
like
impression.
A character. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Character,
like,
yeah.
Like it just kind of bothers me. I wanted to talk about, not Paul. What's his name?
The android dude.
No. The Unopin.
Oh, Alan the Alien, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Alan. Because then get into the Thraxian stuff, but what did you think about him and the Coalition and kind of finding out like what he does and
That was cool. I also thought the reveal of what's his name being a Viltrumite wasn't a reveal. I thought he knew.
I always thought it was Thaddeus. Thaddeus?
Thaddeus,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, what?
It's so funny though, because he like takes like the way he's like, I have something to tell you, Alan.
Yeah, he does the same thing.
You're a Viltrumite.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He is a Viltrumite.
It's funny. I just assumed he was.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I kind of thought he was. Like,
yeah.
Just based off of like the
Peter Cullen doing his voice.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Cool
but,
casting.
I like the idea of him, I guess, forcibly evolving Alan by like making him kind of fend for himself. That was an interesting idea. I like that moment where he gets punched and he's like, oh, I'm fine. Like my head's still attached.
Yeah,
I do like Seth Rogen in that role.
And him getting absolutely fucked up by the Viltrumites.
Yeah, at the beginning. Oh fuck.
Yeah, yeah, and then the fight on. We talked about Thraxia a little bit, but then like the fight with Omni-Man and Invincible on Thraxia with the other Viltrumites.
Right, coming in, and you kind of learn that Viltrumites really don't like to kill other Viltrumites, which is an interesting kind of layer.
Yeah,
and then Mark.
There's a reason for that.
Makes sense. And then Mark kind of gets told to dive into his books by his father, which seemed to have a bunch of Viltrumite weaknesses within them.
I think that, I don't know if this has changed from a comic. I thought he always wrote those kind of books. Like in the comic, it seems like, or sorry, in the show, they were like, oh, he got away from that
and went to like romance.
Yeah, I was like, it always seemed to just be like what he did. Like
right.
He was
always
like
a science fiction guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
not a really, you know, super, you know, sure, different change, but just something I noticed. But he does go to his books and, like, you know, when Alan's like, no, these are real. Yeah,
that,
like,
that's a real thing. Yeah. That's cool. So you're finding out all these Viltrumite weaknesses. I like the idea that even two Viltrumites is like, we should watch out. Like, what's his name? Thaddeus is kind of pumped to go now. He's like, oh, we have a second one. That's big. That's going to be huge.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's interesting how in this universe they are like, they can be like, you could stab a Viltrumite if you're strong enough. Whereas, like, you get to a Superman and you can't stab him unless you got, like, a kryptonite. I always see this thing. It's like, Superman or Omni-Man. Superman.
You think?
Easy. You can't stab Superman.
See, I would say Viltrumites might be stronger than Kryptonians on Earth.
I disagree. But, so,
but the thing with Viltrumites, like you just said, you can stab them.
That's what I mean. They seem much more like you can fuck each other up much more easily than we see. I feel like even Zod and Superman fuck each other up. Like, I guess, you know, Superman can break Zod's neck, so maybe they can break Superman's neck, but it depends. Still, you can't beat that first scene when he destroys the whole Guardians in that first season.
Yeah.
You don't see that it's him, right, in the comic book?
No, you do. I think you do.
Okay, I thought it was a reveal, like, by the end.
I'm trying to remember. again.
Because I think in the comics, if I remember, that's one of the only things I know. I think he just totally, they don't even put up a fight in the comic and you don't see who it is. But I might be wrong.
I mean, we could literally, before you leave, go up and look if you wanted to.
Absolutely.
Because I would actually be interested to be like, oh, okay.
That's a different, yeah.
I should have fucking done that before the podcast.
It's all right.
But yeah, like, again, 8 episodes for the season. Like, I think it's just, again, for the way the story is paced, I wish it was longer. I wish we had a longer season because I feel like it just doesn't stick around. Because of, again, the 4 and 4, if it was 8 through, I feel like it would have been differently paced, but
I really do think the 4 and 4 is what kind of killed the momentum.
Yeah, like, oh my god, if we waited till okay, we're coming back in January, like, they're taking, like, the holidays off, because, like, putting out new episodes of a show, like, during the holidays can be a bit, you know, kind of number destroying, because people are busy and probably not sitting down to watch TV. So, and I was like, oh, we'll be back in January. And then it was like, no, March. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
It just killed the momentum. And listen, I do think I'm very high on this season. I'd be even more high on it if I could have gotten that week to week.
Yeah, I'm not as high on it. And I don't know why. It's not that I dislike the story. I think it's just like, I think Invincible works better as a comic book than it does a show. Because now I got to wait again.
From what you're explaining to me, it seems like a pacing issue. To me,
a pacing adaption.
Sure, and that's almost kind of why I'm kind of glad I haven't read it yet.
Yeah,
so I'm not kind of comparing in my mind, which, you know, that's the nature of the beast. It happens because like when you read the original material.
So it's good you haven't read it. And it's good.
Absolutely, I've somehow ignored it to this point. So, even like spoilers online, like there's so many videos of like, what are Viltrumites? And, like, I could dive into the lore of this, and I'm like, no.
No, resist. Don't. Yeah.
Resist.
Yeah, like, there's a lot you don't know.
That's what I really managed to stay somehow pretty clean at this point, so I'm going to try and keep it going there. But anything else, Gooch? I'm trying to think.
We didn't really talk about Duplicate dying.
Oh, right, and that whole immortal idea with Immortal, how he's kind of losing it. Yeah, it was interesting. I don't know. It didn't,
do you like Immortal?
I do, but I don't feel like we didn't get a ton out of him. We know he's kind of losing it from coming back so much, it seems. And
yeah,
he found someone
his age is just kind of
wearing on him. Yeah. And then he found, you know, a person in Duplicate that was experiencing kind of the same thing as him and that had this curse that they had to deal with. What's his thing again? Is he like cursed or is he...
Him?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think...
I feel like they explain it in the first season. Because he's like a Neanderthal or something, right? And he's been around for like... he was.
Yeah,
and then he like...
Yeah, yeah,
I think
yeah.
he like...
Hit, he's like Vandal Savage.
Yeah, and I think it was... I think it was like a meteor or something that he touched that like irradiated him.
I mean, he's like Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I saw someone do a makeup. It was like Michael Fassbender like made up as him. And I was like, ooh, that does look pretty good.
As of Immortal?
Yeah.
Speaking of Immortal, so Ross Marquand voices him, and he also voices like a lot of other people in the show. I think there is a clear reuse of voice actors in this show that I notice all the time.
Interesting.
Like, Eve's mom is like, I think it's Gray Delisle who voices her, and she's like four other characters in the show.
Like main characters?
Yes.
Like
one, yeah.
It's funny because I really haven't noticed.
Like, I know, like, by contract, they have to do like three voices per thing, like as a union SAG. Is it SAG, right?
SAG-AFTRA, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that's, yeah, they're part
yeah,
of
SAG. Yeah, like as a part
voice
of
actors,
the
yeah, yeah, they yeah, should be part no, of they're the same in there. Guild. I know they so. Have a guild, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, like when you get contracted to do a work as a in the union, you do three voices, like minimum.
Right.
So they kind of reuse them. I mean, Kari Payton is the same way. He's like Black Samson and like 17 other characters. And I'm like, God damn it, Kari Payton. I know your voice too well.
You know who I noticed was in Batman Arkham Knight? When I was playing the other night, when I started off, it was Charles. He's in Charles from Red Dead.
He's in a lot of shit
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like again, like I think it's like, is this a production issue? Like, are we not
cost saving? I think it's probably
are we saving costs? Are we like adhering to the union rules? Like, why am I hearing like all the same voice actors
say,
like 17 times?
I didn't notice that at all. But like now that you've pointed it out, and I probably could go back and be like, oh yeah, here, oh here, here. But
yeah.
That didn't really stick out to me, like, in the moment, at least.
Yeah.
But it's interesting yeah, that you point that out, because I wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, it's usually, like, the side characters who are doing that. Like, obviously,
that
Steven Yeun is not voicing
yeah.
anyone else besides
yeah.
Mark.
That's funny. All right, Gooch, last question.
Yeah.
Do we need a live-action adaptation of this at any point?
No.
Of Invincible? No.
No, I don't think so.
Do you think it would be, like, do you think it shouldn't be done? Do you think it could be done?
I guess it could be. The Boys exists.
Right.
No, I think this is okay.
I think so, too.
Why?
Because there's been murmurs for a while about a live-action adaptation from Seth Rogen and, like, that production company, because they were working on it. We haven't heard anything, like, at all real
yeah,
recently.
Yeah, I think, like, can't we just finish the...
No, I agree. I do think it comes down to, unfortunately, this thing that I feel like we're talking about a lot recently is that animation thing. I think you will get, like, a lot more... normies for back of a letter term to a movie to even if it was actually even a
really
show,
you think
like a live action show
or like I know people like I'm curious to see the numbers the show is doing. It's animated, so it automatically puts it in this little category that people won't watch it because it's animated.
Exactly,
because
yeah.
you're fucking stupid, and if you don't watch something because it's animated, you truly have no taste or culture. You can leave.
I don't agree with that, but yes. I do get what you mean, though. It's annoying because
that's like that enters the Star Wars conversation.
No, absolutely.
Too,
no,
there.
And I agree with it. Sucks. I don't blame the quote unquote normie person for having that thought process, just because that's kind of how things had been in the past. I think that's truly how it was for a
yeah,
while.
Yeah.
And but you know, barring like anime and some of those really amazing like Akira films and stuff from like the 80s. But as far as, like, you know, Westerners go, it was not a big thing aside from, like, your Disney movies and things like that.
Oh,
so
Akira. I said you said Akira films. I'm like
Akira. And like, I meant like other, Akira and other films, I should
yeah.
say.
Have you
yeah.
seen Akira?
I've never seen the animated, no. Or I've
yeah.
never, that's the only one, obviously. But, yeah, I've
yeah,
never seen
you've
it.
Yeah, you've never seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should watch it.
Definitely
that
on the list. I mean, you go back and look at the quality of that shit. Even me as a layman,
oh,
I'm like, yeah, it looks wild.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good animation.
It's just, sadly, in the West, it's just not the same. So
no.
In the way of how it's received. So I kind of wouldn't mind a live action adaptation of this if it did get more eyes on it, but I'm not begging for it at all. You know?
Yeah.
So.
I don't think it's something we need. I don't think it's something we need to do. Is the animation like not good enough? Is that why we need a live action? Like, why do we need a live action? You know, I was seeing, I think I saw on like TikTok a reel of like, oh, like fan casting. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's cool to do. Like, you know, as just having fun. And then it's like, you know, like some people are recasted in the roles and some aren't. Like, you know, Steven Yeun would probably be a good Mark Grayson.
I think he'd be a little too old at this point.
He is older, but like, you know, think about, I mean, he is younger when he's Glenn.
That's
but,
what I mean, yeah.
But he does have like a baby face. I mean, I think
for
him
sure.
being Asian too kind of helps with his age of how,
sure.
his appearance. Yeah, like, you know. Could you get J.K. Simmons to do Omni-Man? Like, I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Like,
you know
even though he's a buff old man.
You know who you get to do Omni-Man. What's his name? Why am I forgetting his name? His face is in my head. He's on the advertising show. Or it was on AMC. Fuck.
The advertising show?
Mad Men. Who is
Oh, John Hamm.
John Hamm as Omni-Man. Easy. That's such a him with the stash. I could see that in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it could be done, and I wouldn't be necessarily against it out the gate, especially if Seth Rogen and them were in charge of it, and Evan Goldberg, who, you know, they've been doing The Boys, they do these shows. It seems to be in capable hands to me, but yeah, do we need it? I don't think so. But if it were to get more eyeballs on it, yeah, I'd take it.
Yeah, yeah. So, all in all, final thoughts. I did like season two. I think I more have issues with the production of Invincible that are kind of bleeding into my enjoyment of the show.
Fair enough.
And again, I think the clip that it's taking and the sizes of the season don't help. It kind of just comes and it goes. Like it's in and it's out.
Do you think it could use two more episodes? Because these are they're like 45, 50 minute episodes.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, I feel like a lot of streaming shows have gotten into this 6 to 8 episode cadence. I remember when like Daredevil first started, I think Daredevil was like at 16 or something
and
like that.
I was like, let's rein it in. I remember
I think like 12 is good. That's chunky without being small.
I think
like just on not even episode length, but episode number.
I think 8 to 10 is a sweet spot for me personally.
Okay.
Or maybe even you can maybe
like
go
like
you
I,
can maybe
I
go
wish
up as
I wish
school.
I had a 12 episode show to be like, yeah,
this
that
one.
Was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's I don't think there are any.
And that's the pro- like there's a fine dance, and I don't know. I felt like this aptly covered everything in a way that didn't feel super rushed or super bogged down for me. So I felt like the pacing and the length of this was good, but sure, I think you could stretch it out by 2 episodes for sure. But don't go, once you start getting to, like, remember when the new Daredevil show was announced? They were like
18 episodes.
And I'm like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Stop.
See, I was kind of like that.
See, I guess it depends on what length you're going, because if they are 35 minute episodes,
18
that's
episodes
different.
Means you don't, you would, you know, if you were to split that up, that's 2 seasons. But like one season, like, I like the idea of like a 1 season good show that is like 18 episodes. And they know that's going to be 1 season. And they like do it
that's
out
a whole,
like that.
That's a different
but
thing
like,
too.
But like shows
yeah.
are rarely like that. Like we know Fallout will probably get a second season.
I mean, there's no way it's not.
It hasn't
at this
been
point.
Announced, and I don't. Apparently, again, I don't know how it ends. I know you finished it, but
it absolutely leaves room open for a second one.
yeah, like you have to.
And,
right, you don't definitively end.
And apparently, there was something like how it's like quote unquote already. There was an article going around that it was already renewed, but it's been kind of like debated. Because of apparently they'll get some significant tax breaks in California, so they'll be able to shoot the show at like a very low rate, and also it's doing incredibly well. So and also that's an example of an 8 episode show. Yes, that was exactly what you were. What
first
I was
episode
for.
And if second episode was 1 hour 15 minutes.
First
was
episode
like,
was 1 hour 15 minutes.
Let's
yeah.
go, baby.
Well,
yeah.
and that's the setup. Yeah, exactly.
Like that. And I noticed, like, I went through the episode list for Fallout, and I was, like, 46.
That was the shortest one.
Yeah, but yeah. again, when you have, like, 62-minute episodes and, like, 80-minute
basically
episodes
all the other ones
70,
were 60
like,
minutes.
You're kind of, like, balancing it out a yeah. little bit. Like, obviously, like, one will probably be shorter than some. But, yeah, Invincible episodes lengths are good for
I agree.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, I think this show as a 20-minuter wouldn't work.
Yeah, you'd have to break. It would have to have 16 episodes.
Yeah.
And so, it's, like, that pacing then starts getting real weird.
So why don't you lead us out with some final thoughts and then
absolutely
we'll wrap
yeah I
up.
Mean I thoroughly enjoyed Invincible season 2. I can't wait to see what season 3 brings. I think it's really kind of going to get into even more of the nitty-gritty that I'm excited to about
yeah,
with like the
yeah.
Viltrumite
we've
stuff.
We've kind of just started, you know.
I did love,
especially with Mark's arc.
I love that kind of stinger at the end with Alan the Alien talking to Omni-Man, and he's like, I miss my wife. Or he's like, I think I miss my wife. And the way he's like looking
yeah, I
at
I think I miss my wife.
And it's so good. And it's so good. And it cuts. And I'm
like
now I'm
well,
excited.
That's
yeah.
not true. He has had sex. And
recently. Yeah. He has. Yeah. With, yes, a, with a weird praying mantis type woman. yeah. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to see where we go from here. I'm hoping we get it at least next year. Maybe with all this stuff done. Hopefully the production issues kind of subside if there really are even, or just, you know, the cadence gets better. And they've been very vocal about how
I'm glad
want
you agree with me. I don't think I'm like being like
no
gripish
listen,
and like kind of like getting
the
on a, getting on a soapbox
sure. no,
about
no, no,
it
no,
like
no.
I'm I, like I do feel like there's a genuine issue here.
No, I think it's just maybe issue again,
they seem to be too vocal about it, to be honest.
Well, vocal about the time, like I think with the especially with how it was coming out, the breakup of the season, I think that comes down to Amazon. I don't think that comes down to the showrunners, in my personal opinion.
That's crazy.
I think that's Amazon being like, no, this is how we want to.
I was always cool with Walking Dead doing mid-show finales because, again, they would break for the holidays and then they come back after. And it worked. And, again, it's a longer season. But I also, well, like, originally I'm like, oh, they need more fucking time, you know? Like, and I'm sure they did, you know?
Right.
I'm not.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, like, I don't buy that, like, it was done. Like,
I think
they always had a plan that
but
way.
But I think that's kind of like a lot of animated shows where it's like, sure, could it get even better? Yes.
I'm like, Bad Batch has been one and through.
No, that's true, but also Bad Batch, the way they animate that is much simpler.
You think?
Because they use, it's like a video game program. Whereas like you don't have to animate every frame. You're literally like controlling character models
and just doing fit.
Like you're animating like that, whereas like this is actual.
Do you have a preference? Like, I know you're watching Bad Batch season 3 right now, so like
Star Wars, they've honed that art style so well.
Yeah, they really have.
Where you've gone from, if you go back to, I mean, you've done it.
Yeah.
When you go back to Clone Wars season 1 compared to the end of Clone Wars.
Yeah, it's like night and
day. It's night and day. The character models don't, like, I still feel like there is a weird floatiness to character models when they walk in those shows. But overall, it feels weighty. They feel well done. I think there's room for both of them, but I think I tend to
Invincible
err more
definitely,
towards Invincible's, like,
Invincible,
old Justice League style, almost, even, in a way.
It's definitely more old school, yeah. That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, you know, I think a lot of shows, we get this, like, 3D kind of style, which I'm fine with, and I think it works for Clone Wars and Rebels and Bad Batch. I'm excited to fucking watch Bad Batch. It's a shame we're probably not going to, like, again, my fault, we won't be doing a hot take on season 3.
No, because
right. I mean, I could always...
Catch, you'd have a lot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, there are so many shows coming out. We're trying to watch Masters of Air, right. We got Fallout. Like, there have been a lot of shows lately, but that's good. I think it was funny last year we were talking about, like, between the movies and shows we watched, that, like, we did not as many movies and much more shows. And I was like, I would have not have thought that, but this year we'll probably end up pouncing. Actually, we, like, in terms of movies, I don't know what the fuck's coming out this year. Like, in terms of comic book stuff, we don't have a lot, and we'll review two movies. Madam Web and Rebel Moon.
Yeah.
Rebel Moon will be in a week.
Oh, gosh. But there, you know what's a funny example of, like, that comparison? It's a really interesting example, actually. When you watch Green Lantern, the animated series.
Yeah.
That's all 3D animation. Yeah. But it's still in the Paul Dini art style, which is interesting.
So it's weird.
So it's like, it works. By the end, I actually really liked it. But I still remember watching it because I didn't even know it existed until I found it. And because it was only like 2 seasons, but they dive into like the Red Lantern Corps and all that stuff. Like, it's interesting. It's well done. And the Blue Lanterns, all that, like, the emotional spectrum. But yeah, I think there's a place for both of them. But I do think I like the more kind of classic style that Invincible goes for sure. Anything else, though, Gooch?
No, that's it. We went on some dive drives.
I think so, too. Yeah, but it's a good one. It's fun stuff. Please go watch Invincible. I think it's very good, especially if you can just watch it all at once right now. It's an easy kind of binge. But, you know, this has been a good time. Thanks for watching with us live on twitch.tv/Delco Nerd Network. We really appreciate your time. You can find this podcast anywhere podcasts are found. Just search Delco Nerd Network on your favorite service. On all your social medias, we're there. Everywhere with an @ sign. We are at Delco Nerds. We got a Facebook page. We got a Discord channel. All that good stuff will be linked down below. Feel free to pop in and chat with all of us nerds here in Delco. We have a lot of fun conversations, and we are excited to have any more show up. So please come hang. You can find all this information on our website, DelcoNerdNetwork.com. Of course, you can even email us your comments, questions, or concerns, DelcoNerds@gmail.com. We'd be happy to get back to you. But for Gooch, I've been Trio. Thanks for watching, guys. Stay nerdy, and we will see you next time.